You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Wolf Daddy, a paranormal BDSM romance by Mahogany Silvering. Keiko Reed finds what she never expects in the arms of a werewolf daddy dom, an alpha of the Wolf House MC. Fleeing her abusive ex from a rival MC, she runs into Gerald Brothers. He takes her under his protection and believes she is the one that he has been searching for. He claims her in every way and gives her the sacred bite of the werewolf. Soon after, he is betrayed by a club member to the rival MC, putting not only Keiko, but the club and the small town of Golden Tip, Colorado, at risk. Will Gerald go to war with the rival MC, risking everything for his precious little one? Wolf Daddy, a paranormal BDSM romance by Mahogany Silvering. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. 2-inch Minimum, Book 1 of the Permanent Hangover Series by Michelle Prince. All Finn Gardner wanted was some fresh air when he stepped down to the alley behind the Permanent Hangover Bar and Tattoo Parlor. Instead, he found someone who needed help. His help. Bailey Parson escapes her life in Chicago to find a better one in St. Paul. Not only does she win over the customers and staff with her smart wit and empathy, she wins over Finn as well. But when Bailey's past threatens their relationship, Finn has a decision to make. Just how much of his dark past does he need to unlock to save her? 2-Inch Minimum by USA Today best-selling author Michelle Prince. Get your copy on Amazon today. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silvering, and we've got a great show for you tonight. She's one of my new authors that I ran into on Instagram, and we kind of became Instagram buddies, and I have always wanted to talk to her more than I have and find out she's just the sweetest person ever. So please welcome Miss Valerie Lynn.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming on with us tonight. So I would like for you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and about your books.
Well, a little bit about me. I am a financial service representative by day, and I write romance that sizzles by night. The current series that I'm working on is the Seaside Desire series, and it's written in third-person point of view, and it's set in Newport, Rhode Island. And each book is written as a standalone, but they do cross over. So you kind of are in that little Newport world, and it's opulent and ocean views and hot guys and fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Awesome. So, what inspired you to start writing?
Oh, you know, it was kind of a calling, actually. I had an injury where I, for the first time in my life, I had been working. Never had any kind of leave from work. I was home for 3 months after tearing my Achilles, and I had to be on bed rest. And I was home all day by myself, and I just had this calling to start writing, and I started with a few poems, and from there I thought, well, people kind of liked them, and I said, oh, okay, and I had always been a romance reader. So I thought, well, maybe I want to, you know, write something and try, and it just kind of went from there, to be honest with you.
Nice.
It was just one day I just thought, I'm going to do this.
Nice.
There was no real plan behind it. I went back to school and got my bachelor's degree in general studies with a concentration on creative writing, because I thought that was probably the best route. I had no idea how to go about it, but I haven't looked back since.
Nice. I love when it's just one of those things you kind of fall into and it turns out to be passionate about it.
Yes, yes, and that's exactly what happened. I just had this little voice in my head that said, you need to write.
Yes,
And you have a story to tell. There you have it. So tell us about your first published book.
My first published book is called The Prodigal's Desire, and it is the story of Henry Santana, who, he's a misunderstood playboy. He has a playboy reputation, actually. He's not really one, but everybody thinks he is. And he comes to Newport, Rhode Island from Miami because he's just recently taken on a position with his father's construction firm. And what they want to do is obtain property to build a 5-star resort on Newport's waterfront. And of course, this, you know, this property is owned by a introverted bookseller named Victoria Hathaway, and she's standing, you know, in his way. She doesn't want to sell, and sparks fly, and it goes from there. And you'll have to read it to find out if it gets the land.
Well, I've been reading it, and it definitely sparks a fly. I haven't finished it, but so far I am loving the characters, especially Jennifer. That's my girl. I don't care what anybody says.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy you like Jennifer, because she can be fresh and sassy, and she says it like it is, but, you know, she's got a heart of gold. She really does. And we all need that kind of friend who's just going to,
tell us the truth. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, yeah, you don't want a yes man around you. You don't want a yes woman around you. You want someone that's going to be straight with you. Yes, girl, you look fat in that dress. Okay, we're going to try something else.
Yep. And Jennifer will tell you.
Oh, yeah.
She will. But like I said, she has a heart of gold. I mean, Jennifer loves Victoria, and she's skeptical of this whole thing. And, you know, they own a business together. They, each one has a story, because book two is Jennifer's story, Forever His Desire is the name of that one. But together they own the Literary Ladies Book Nook and Cafe, which Victoria Hathaway, who has, it's a home, it's a colonial home that she inherited that Henrique needs to build his resort. But to get together, she and Jennifer own the Literary Book Nook and Cafe, the Literary Ladies Book Nook and Cafe, and Victoria does the book end, and Jennifer does the cafe end, kind of like a Barnes & Noble kind of situation.
Right.
But their own thing.
But their own thing, Most definitely. And they really make a good theme in the book from what I've read and what I am reading.
Oh,
I'm going to finish that because I got to know what happened. So no spoilers.
You need to find out what happened.
Yes. We were talking before the show started, and I was telling her, you know, there's another character, Kelly, that is a complete mess. So if you have like a little drama, there's your drama right there. So yeah, you can find it in Kelly. Is that I would just say Klingon. That's all I'm gonna say.
The funny thing about Kelly is I have a very good friend, fairly recent, but a good friend who I met after that character was created, and she always says to me, "I can't believe you named your villainous Kelly."
Oh no, is that her name?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So it is kind of funny because I hadn't even thought anything about it. And she said, "I can't believe you named her this." I said, "Well, she's a fun character. She was a fun character to write."
Yes.
And we need drama. I mean, when you read, you want to, at least I do, I want to escape and have a good time and just go in this fantasy world. And, you know, you need elements of each thing. And Kelly is quite the lady.
You definitely need a protagonist there. You really do. They kind of make the whole thing.
But yeah, they're fun to write, I have to say.
Yes. I would definitely say that. So there are three books in the series, right?
There are right now. There are three. The first two, I do call them the Literary Ladies Duet, and it's The Prodigal's Desire and Forever His Desire, which is both Victoria's and Jennifer's stories. They can be read as a standalone because I did write them that way, but ideally, you read them together. And what I did is I actually recently signed on with Literary Dreams Publishing, and we did a box set. So we called that the Literary Ladies. So you can get them all in one, you know, deluxe edition if you'd like. So
nice.
There's three so far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'm working on the next one, book four, but it's actually book one of what we call the O'Hallorans. So that's kind of an exciting project I'm working on.
Nice. So what came first for you? Was it the plot or the characters?
Definitely characters. Absolutely. I love watching people and kind of, I don't know if you're a people watcher yourself, but
yes.
I have been known, I may not have been a writer my whole life, but I have been known my whole life to make up stories about people. Like if I'm not gossipy, but just in my mind, you know, you might be sitting out, you know, and just see somebody and you're like, I wonder what their story is. People fascinate me, you know, their body language and what could their story be? And so it's definitely the people, the characters first. And then from there, I think, okay, well, what would they do? What would their job be? And it goes like from there, you know?
Okay. So do you have like a list of things? Do you take your characters and like what's their favorite color? What time of day do they like? Do you go through what kind of everything about their personality? Almost like a character bible.
I should. Very rough. It's very rough. I'm really not a blotter, and I want to be so bad, but I do write, like, the basic outline. Like, this person would be blonde, blue-eyed.
Okay.
They work here, but it's not a very in-depth, which is something I'd actually like to do more of. But right now, it's just kind of, they come to me, and they're in my mind, and they kind of sit with me for a while until I'm ready to let them out.
Most definitely. Just about every author and writer I've spoken to, we all say the same thing. And the
it's so much time. Yeah, they're always in my head for quite a while before I can really think about what I want to do. So I know them pretty well by the time I sit down at that computer to type out their story.
Nice. So, before you started writing your first book, when did you consider yourself a writer? Was it after you finished the book, or was it even before that?
No. I would say it really hit me that I was a writer when I released the second novel.
Wow.
I didn't consider myself a writer when I released The Prodigal's Desire, but then when Wherever His Desire came out, I said, yeah, you really are an author. You've got two books out there. So now I do, but it's still a little bit foreign to say that about myself. But yes, I am a published author, and I am a writer, and I wouldn't change a thing. I feel very blessed to be able to say that. But it did. It didn't really sink into the second one.
Oh, wow. Because the first one is, you can definitely tell, you have a lot of detail that you put into your book. And I like how you describe what's going on around them, from the howling winds to, you know, how the cold is biting their face. It's just so, you know, you can feel yourself standing on that beach, just, you know, looking out, and it's snowy and it's cold. And, you know, you can really feel yourself in that city by the sea. Literally, I can picture this in my mind as I'm reading. So, great job.
Thank you so much. That makes me happy.
That's
the goal.
You're
when I write, I almost see it like, and I don't know how other writers, you know, what their process is, but for me, I almost see it like a play. Like I want when I'm writing it, I kind of put myself in that scene. So I'm like, well, what's the weather like? You know, what would be happening to me? Like, what would I feel in that scene? So for you saying that, that makes me very happy. Goal accomplished.
Most definitely. See, I'm a reader first, so I've always loved to read. So that's my thing, you know. And so I look for, okay, how does, you know, I put myself in books.
Right.
So, you know, I can see that
reader.
I'm there. Yes. So, you know, I love to write about the same things. Yes, and you do. I mean, this, I haven't read the second book, but I liked the first book, you know, so I got into it and I could really picture this and this colonial home that she lived in. I mean, and Victoria, of all things, because it kind of fits, you know, her home, she lived in this colonial house and by the sea, and it sounds really beautiful. It almost makes me want to be by the sea because I love lighthouses. So.
Oh. Well, you'll have to come visit me someday.
Because
I have the pleasure of seeing it often. So someday when you come to Rhode Island, you give me a call and we'll go for a sightseeing tour.
Yes. I've always wanted to go on the lighthouse tour. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it, but I've never been on it myself.
Uh-huh. It starts, I think, in Rhode Island.
What a shame.
Yeah. And then it's like you go from state, but it's like this tour. You guys stick together, like the whole tour, and you travel from different states to see each of the lighthouses. And I'm like, that's on my bucket list. I want to do that because it sounds like a lot of fun, and I love lighthouses.
Well, my great-great-grandfather was a lighthouse keeper. And in The Prodigal's Desire, the character that had passed away and had left that colonial home, Nana, who I talk about, she is based off my great-grandmother, who the lighthouse keeper that I just mentioned was her father.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's
that little connection.
Yeah. And see, we write what we know, and that fits right in.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So what does your writing space look like, a typical day of writing for you, and like your desk or anything around you? Is there certain things you have to have with you when you're writing?
Yeah. I'm a doll collector, too. I've been a lifelong doll collector and very serious for over 20 years. So my little writing cave is my desk surrounded by cases of different dolls. But I don't like having noise. Like, I know that some people listen to music. I like it quiet, and then I just do my thing. And I can get lost. Like, I can even forget to eat when I'm in there. So I'm surrounded by all the dolls that I love there, and it's quiet and it's peaceful, and that would be my writing world.
Nice. So are they porcelain dolls or different types?
Different types. The majority are fashion dolls, but I do have a whole case that's just cloth dolls. I have antique dolls. I've been to different conventions. It's another passion of mine, but
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit on the back burner right now because the writing kind of taken over more. But
Right. Yeah,
I'm in two doll clubs, and I'm still pretty active in it.
Well,
it's a nice space.
I didn't know there were doll clubs.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Do you name yours, too?
Oh. I started with Barbie, which is the ultimate fashion doll, but you know, I have Integrity fashion dolls. They're beautiful. I love Madame Alexander dolls. She's got a Sissette, which is like kind of like her Barbie. Yeah, I love fashion dolls. I love fashion anyway. But your sister should look up the United Federation of Doll Clubs. There's a little plug for them. It's a worldwide organization, and they celebrate any kind of doll that you like, they have.
Oh, nice. I know, everybody thinks my sister's a little strange because she has a doll collection, but I like them. There's one, she sits at the table, it's a little girl in the high chair, and she looks like she dropped her food and she's upset, and she's about to cry.
Aww.
She looks
so
real.
Some people are afraid.
You want to pick her up and hold her like, it's okay. But,
some people are scared.
It just, you know,
it
depends.
Oh, that's cool. Your sister and I would have a good conversation.
Yes.
Well, they always betray us doll collectors.
Exactly. She has all types of dolls. There's one, the tallest one comes up to, I'm like 5'6" and a half, and one comes up to my chin. And she is in the dining room. Yes. And she's beautiful. And each one is like they're taken care of. And everyone has a name.
I bet she has a rusty doll.
Yes.
That's what
she probably
sounds like
does.
Me.
I wouldn't go to that.
They are addictive. They are. But a lot of people are afraid of them. Or they give us doll collectors those commercials. I mean, when you do commercials, they always betray us a little bit odd, but
Oh,
hey,
yes.
It's harmless, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, I have panda bears. That's my thing. Panda bears.
You like
teddy
bears?
So, nice.
Yeah.
So I'm big on pandas. I even have it on my phone. I have different panda things. So it's like, okay, some people have dogs. I like pandas.
That's awesome. So that's great. You got to post some pictures of your pandas. I have to see those.
I even have my big one, Pandy Min, at my laptop, and I put the headphones on him. So I'm like, okay, I'm taking a break. He's taking over for me today.
How fun. How absolutely fun.
Yeah.
You know what? We could be doing all kinds of bad things. We're making our environment a happy place. I have a friend from high school, actually. Her daughter is 10, and she's taken an interest in dolls. So we are actually planning a tea party this month.
Oh, nice.
So here I am,
okay.
49 years old. I'm going to have a little tea party, but... You know what?
Nothing wrong with that.
It's fun. You know what I mean? You gotta have fun. Life is so serious all the time.
I do. I'm a part of the Red Hat Society. We have tea parties all the time. So it's like, and it's fun. It was other women. You know, we're all together. Most of us have, you know, grown children and grandchildren. And we have a lot of fun just hanging out and doing things. And we all have our little fascinator hats, or we have the regular hats, and it's just, you know, we go on trips and things like that. So, I mean, why not? You're in the time of your life, the second half of your life, you want to do stuff, you know, that you didn't maybe get a chance to do when you were younger. So,
do you wear the red hat?
Yes.
Like the Red Hat Society?
The Red Hat Society. And so we wear the red hat and the purple, you know, outfit, whether it's a dress, and depending on, you know, each month we have a different theme. So it's pretty cool. I like it. I've enjoyed it. I've been since I was 49. So, yeah, so you can come in as a teen cat if you're under age 50, and then when you turn 50, you graduate to the red hat.
Oh, I did not realize you had to graduate into red.
It's for when they're
50 and
up. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be
50. I would like that.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they have a chapter in Rhode Island. So, we have one here in Georgia. I have to look that up. Anyway, I'm sorry. We're just like digressing.
Nobody wants to hear this probably, but I'm enjoying this conversation immensely.
Yes. And see, now your readers know a little bit more about you and what you like and different things that, you know, inspire you.
Well, Victoria has a doll collection in the book. She does. So I had to get that. That's, you know, I had to get in there, sneak it in a little bit.
But of course. Most definitely. And Victoria is, she kind of reminds me of this person who would, you know, collect dolls and beautiful things. And I can see that. So it's pretty interesting. She is definitely, and I like how that she is not conceited and she's not all about herself. And that makes her a very good character. That's more relatable, you know?
You know, the big thing with Victoria that I hope came across is that she started out not as confident as I would like, but she gained it throughout the book.
Exactly.
You know, she started to realize and own her own power more. And, you know, she's never going to be that person that walks in and is loud and boisterous, but she can hold her own if necessary.
Yes, she can. So. Definitely, I would say definitely feisty. Just from the, we call them meet cutes, when they met in the bookstore.
Oh, yes.
No, that was funny.
He's
they
a poster
like,
child.
You know, yes. You know, in walks, you know, this beautiful man. They're like, look at this. Look at that.
I loved it when Henry could be the poster child for any toothpaste company.
Right? He's got the smile. He's got the hair. And he's got the eyes. So, yes. Most definitely.
That was fun to write.
I bet.
I could probably relate to that. I've had that when you're hoping they don't know that you're looking, but you're looking.
Mm-hmm. You know, we as women kind of tend to play it off a little more than, you know, guys are kind of obvious.
Yeah. He knew they were looking.
Yep. And he was playing into that. You could tell.
Yeah.
Jennifer was probably sitting, you know, I could hear her when I was reading, but I know what she's thinking. I would probably be Jennifer, most definitely. Like, that's my girl.
Jennifer is really good. Yep. Jennifer has one man that she loves, though. I mean, she's had the same guy in her life since they were in school. They were sweethearts, so, you know, her heart belongs to one. But she can appreciate a handsome man when she sees him.
Of course, yes, most definitely. That's always good. I always imagine that people, because I've never experienced this, but when you fall in love in high school, you think, okay, it's not personal, but, you know, spend the rest of my life with. But there are people who actually do, and they're still married. And it always amazes me when I hear that.
It is amazing. I knew a couple like that, and it is amazing. What a blessing to get that.
Yes.
You know?
And to have that.
And what happens when you have that kind of love, which is kind of what and Forever His Desire, you know, they were on the cusp to jump to that book, but Jennifer and her, you know, her high school sweetheart, Andre Jenkins, they were on the cusp of having it all. I mean, they were going to get married, and, you know, they knew each other thick and thin, and, you know, what would it take to break something like that? And I decided to not just have it be a problem. It was kind of like a bulldozer came in. And could this be, because when I began that story, it began, because we knew from the Prodigal's Desire that they were a couple. And what happened is, how could this be redeemed? Because I can't tell you what it is because it would ruin the story, but this Andre is a police officer, and he's your everyday guy that everybody likes, easygoing, just a great guy, hardworking. Thinks that she's just the most wonderful thing in the world. And what can happen when this unthinkable happens to him?
Right.
And it just crashes this whole thing down, and can they get it back together? So that's a second chance secret baby romance.
Nice.
And it was hard, though. It was really hard because they broke up, and it's a romance, so you know they're going to get back together, because every romance has to have a happily ever after. So it's not really a spoiler, but I had a reader send me a message one day. She's like, I can't believe that they've been apart for 4.5 years. How could you do this? I was like, okay, that's what I wanted.
That's right. You get that reaction that tells you they were into the story. So, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it wasn't unthinkable.
Oh, because you actually answered a question I was going to ask you.
I'm sorry. I jumped ahead.
No, That's good. No problem. I was going to ask if it was emotionally draining or sad to do any one scene. And just from your description, I can imagine that it was, you know, difficult to write that scene. Especially with Andre.
It really was. And for those who do read it, what happened to him and the fact that he was a police officer, I think, added that extra twist of how could this happen? You know, how could this happen? And, you know, if everything just imploded from there, you know, it's just what's he going to do? And he's such a good guy, you know.
And he's
the catalyst for the breakup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so now I'm really excited to read the book. Number one, Jennifer's the girl, so I got to read this. So I'm going to finish this one, but then I got to get that second one. So it's definitely
good,
on my TBR.
I hope you do.
So, because I got to read Jennifer's story. I mean, I know you were telling me earlier that a lot of people don't seem to like Jennifer, but I'm like, why not? You know, that's the thing you want, you know. So yeah.
I soften her a little bit. Early thing that she's a little too harsh. Some people don't like it because she is so, say it like it is, but I like those kind of people, you know, because I know she's genuine.
Exactly.
So.
And there's it's just straightforward. You don't have to guess because the girl's going to straight up tell you, you know. So it is a no holds barred, but that's, you know, you want a friend like that. You know, tell me if I've got something, you know, on my teeth. And I'm like,
right, exactly.
You know, a real friend would not do that. You know, if your tag's sticking up, I go up to strangers like, you know, I'm sorry that your tag's sticking. Do you mind if I adjust it for you? You know, I would not want to walk around with a tag hanging off my dress.
No, not at all.
And I would want my girl to back me up, you know? So, yeah, you know, that's when you wouldn't have your friend walking around just like anything.
And that's what I like, too, about Andre, because he is such a laid-back, you know, just the everyday guy that people just like, because he can just fit into everything. And yet, when she's so strong-willed than Jennifer, and yet he's the one person that can kind of rein her in.
Ooh,
you know, he knows
nice
just how to assert whatever authority, because we all like that little bit of alpha male, I think.
Yes,
he
we
does
do.
Just enough to do it, but I don't know if I call him an alpha male, but he can certainly control fur.
Well,
that's a tough feat.
So, I mean, the fact that he, you know, because he's an authority figure, and that's still something that would play into that very well with her. Probably something, you know, that she can really be a little awful grounding for him.
Yes. She's a challenge for him, I'm sure.
So was it difficult to write subsequent books in the series? I know they're like pretty much standalones, but because they're happening with the same characters and within the series, is it more difficult to write the second and third?
It is, because the first one, everything is brand new and you're just building that world. But the second one, when it comes along, now it's parallel. So you got to make sure that what you're saying matches your first book. When I said to you, I wish I had the series Bible. I need one, because I was like, okay, wait a minute. When did this happen? You know, I had to get them to the same, I wanted to be in the same time frame.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. And my critique partner and I. Yeah, my critique partner and I said, did you remember when in Prodigal Desire, Andre said blah, blah, blah? That's why I'm doing this, Peter.
Ah, gotcha.
So
yeah,
that would be...
You actually have to look that. I do, too. Do you find yourself forgetting what you wrote and you have to go back and read it?
Yes, and I do. And I don't talk about the characters that often. So when I come on and I'm talking to you right now, it's kind of exciting because I'm like back in that world again. It's fun because they become your friends after a while.
Exactly.
And even somebody like, you know, Kelly that we spoke of earlier, the villainess, even she, we kind of know why she is like she is, even though, mm-hmm. you know, we can't really justify some of her behaviors in a sense.
Right.
We understand them. You know,
yeah.
We do. So I think it's fun to talk about.
Well, definitely.
It's just fun to revisit.
I like
so.
To do this, you know, so I get to go into different authors and their worlds and, you know, connect with their characters, and especially characters that I really connect with when I'm reading a book that makes me want to, like, continue and, okay, well, what happens now? What are they going to do? And so you're, like, invested, you know, with each, each time, you know, each book you read. And then you finish, mm-hmm. just like you lost a friend. So I like series because, like, I can continue to see how my friends are changing and growing. So most definitely. And it's like what would you describe as your perfect hero or heroine in the book? And it could be yours or anyone. You know?
I do prefer male characters, I can tell you that. And I guess because I can make them. Henrique was pretty perfect for me. But I'm actually writing a character right now, Lake Norman, in my current one. And, you know, I like him because he comes across like a womanizer, and he's a far and alpha male, but really has a good heart. And I know why he is like he is. I like that idea of being so intimate with a character that you understand them. So you
mm-hmm.
see, because I don't think that anybody is perfect. So to your question, my ultimate character would be somebody who is flawed, because people are flawed. But how do they overcome that? Because that's the strength. It's always there. I mean, if you have this flaw, it's in you. But if you can recognize it and be strong enough and humble enough to realize it, then that's somebody I want in my court. You know what I mean? That's the kind of person that I like. So that's the kind of character I like. Yeah, of course, we all want that, you know, that dreamy, handsome, you know, suave kind of guy. But in the end, you know, we all do
real
the same
person.
Things. And
so
I like... My ultimate characters are always very multidimensional and flawed.
Nice.
But I like
great
it when
answer.
They overcome the flaw.
I like
that.
Thank
you.
Great answer. You really, you know, with you do want a hero that is not perfect, because none of us are. So, you know, the person that you can find that is down to earth and does have flaws, but they do the right thing. And mm-hmm. you might mess up, but, you know, like you said, they overcome. And that's the strength of character. That is awesome.
So well, I
was you have
about, okay. I'm sorry, do I have one?
Mm-hmm.
I always liked Christian Grey quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's a kind of a controversial answer because some people absolutely love 50 Shades of Grey
mm-hmm.
and other people don't. But me, I love it. In fact, when I was in school, I did my final project on 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, wow.
And yes, so I've really given a lot of thought to that character. And I have to say probably Christian Grey is my favorite character. Again, very flawed.
And that's unexpected, though. I would have never thought that.
Really?
Yeah. Not in a bad way. I'm just, you know, I was like, okay. But then you also
yes.
share that. You like billionaires. So.
I do. I mean,
yes.
come on.
Let's be honest. If you have a great guy and he happens to be a billionaire, that's even better. That's like icing on the cake. But he has to be a good guy.
Part of the reason I like the billionaire so much is because I love clothing, so it gives me that opportunity to write like wall
oh,
scenes
yes.
where I can make people fancy. That's really the big reason. Plus, it does give me the opportunity when money is not an object. You know, you can
mm-hmm.
fly wherever you want to go or eat whatever you want to eat. Where a character, you know, like Andre Jenkins in Forever's Desire,
mm-hmm.
he is a cop. So they have a nice home. You know, they live
mm-hmm.
a nice lifestyle, but it's not lavish like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
so you can really expand on it if you're a billionaire.
Most definitely.
Sky's the limit.
Pretty much. Sky's the limit.
Right.
Do you think you will continue in the trope that you have, or do you think you'll expand a little, especially with your new?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I kind of taken on the current work I'm working on is an age gap Romeo.
Mm-hmm.
It will have some triggers. Blake Norman is just become a detective, so he is trying to crack this case of who the lucky Irishman is, which is a serial rapist who has been, it actually goes from Ireland and Newport. And in the summer in Newport, Rhode Island, we've always had a lot of people come from Ireland to work. So it kind of connected all that. It took on a little bit darker. And I don't know that I'll continue with it forever, but it is different, very different from the other two in that sense. This is going to be the O'Halloran, so it's Katie O'Halloran, and she's the youngest child, and she has two brothers who are, like, totally testosterone. I mean, you're going to love them, Shane and Liam. They have their own stories,
oh, nice.
And... yeah, so, you know, the O'Hallorans own a pub in Newport, an Irish pub, and we're going to start with that, and Katie has a secret, and yeah, it's a little bit darker, and I don't know that I want to continue writing darker, but it was something different. I tried to make each person a little bit diverse and get a feel for the area, because Newport, Rhode Island is diverse. I mean, you can go from, you know, your Millionaire's Row to housing project. There's everything in Newport, which people don't realize. You instantly think of the Gilded Age, but there's so much there. And I wanted to make a community that had all types of people in it. So
nice.
So they're not going to be all the same, but I definitely do like those billionaires, so I will probably have some more in there. And I can tell you that Helen Carrington from The Prodigal's Desire does
mm-hmm.
have a story, so we'll be going back
to
some
party. Oh, I was wondering
party.
About that.
Yeah.
She's
the love interest of Liam O'Halloran, so I've already got that kind of plotted in my head.
Nice.
Yeah, I got an idea, so
good.
She's coming. So there'll be some parties.
I see you've got all these. I'm going to have to pick your brain. But if I do a billionaire, you're definitely the person I'm going to go to for ideas.
You can pick my brain anytime, but I got to warn you, it's a scary place.
Yeah, so is mine.
It's harmless, but it's
harmless?
Interesting.
I don't know if mine is harmless. I saw this meme, and it says, if you could be inside my brain. You would either A, be sexually aroused, or B, totally terrified, or C, both.
Yeah, I think that's me too. If anybody ever knew half of the things.
Exactly. So you never know what goes on the person's head. So, you know what? And it's a quiet one that you have to think, you know.
Yep.
We're the ones that, yes. Uh-huh. People think, oh, they're quiet. They're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. We're observers.
we know what's going on.
Yes.
We know way more than you think.
That's why we're quiet. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more going
totally
on.
Totally get
today.
It. What is that? There's nothing more dangerous than a woman thinking or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I forget how it goes. A woman quietly thinking or smiling. I forget how it goes, but it's true.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You never think of that constantly. If I'm not thinking about a storyline, there's just something, you know. I wonder if I could see this character, you know. You know, I do. You're right. I do watch people. I'm a really good people watcher. Even if I go out with my girlfriends or something, I still, you know, I like to sit and watch people because they do interesting things. And
they
I kind
do.
Of
don't you want to
that's
know?
That's where you exactly. And you want to draw. At least I do. I draw inspiration from people around me. And sometimes I don't have to pull a character out of the air. I see a person and you know what? That would be a good character. And I'm thinking, you know. And watching the things that they do, and my boyfriend's really surprised. He says, "Oh my God, you have me down to a T." I said, "I know. I watch you." He goes, "I didn't think you were listening when I talked." I said, "Of course, I got you. I really do."
Well, it is funny too, and it's funny. I don't know about you, but the reaction when people find out that you write romance or steamy romance
yes.
is interesting.
Yes.
Oh.
Right? Oh.
Okay. Oh.
I had one girlfriend that actually, she said, "So you write book porn?" I said, "Book porn? Oh, no, baby."
No.
I said, "Why don't you read it first and then tell me what I write?" And she came back and apologized. She said, "Oh, my God, you had a moral in here." I said, "Of course." I said, "It's a real story." And she said, "Yes." She said, "Oh my, I'm so sorry. I thought it was just like, just sex." I said, "No."
Yeah.
Not at all.
Somebody was telling me how another person that we knew had gone up and said, "I can't believe Valerie wrote a dirty book. She wrote a dirty book." And I just thought it was so funny because, sure, it's part of a steamy romance, but
right.
It's a romance. It's not telling you to go out and, you know, go carousing.
Right.
It's telling you this is the story between these two people who love each other.
Exactly.
And that's a natural part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just cracked me up. But it's people's reactions are funny. They really are.
Exactly. And then you have other people who are, quote-unquote, these serious writers who, you know, they think very highly of themselves. They're educated. They have so many degrees of Dr. So-and-so. And they say, "What do you write? Romance." Oh.
It's true. And the funny thing about romance
yes.
is, isn't it such the number one genre?
Thank
and
you.
And, yeah. People,
it is.
Yeah. And it's the one thing that seems like everybody wants to talk. Everybody has some sort of relationship.
Exactly.
Everybody has a relationship. Not everybody has a serial killer in their backyard. No.
Right.
So.
Well, I wouldn't want that either. But.
No. No, me either. Just in books.
Yeah, let's keep them right there in the book. But yeah, it's something everybody can relate to, and I think that's really what is, you know, romance book sales of. Skyrocketed compared to even, you know, do-it-yourself books or self-help books even. It's just because everybody can relate to it. You know, everybody has romance somewhere in their life, you know, or a relationship. So it makes people, you know, and I'm glad that romance has grown to where now we have the reverse harem subcategory.
Yeah.
Because when I began to write, late 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. That was unheard of for the romance. Yeah. I mean, because I was turned down by Harlequin and different places because I had, you know, one character, she had three men. And they just, like, that's not the typical romance story. And I was like, well, I'm not the typical person.
Right.
This is in my
head. I think people want that, though. People want, they, you know, people don't want everything to be the same. They want something different. People are multidimensional. And to think everybody's going to be, you know, cookie cutter is, it's kind of ignorant, actually. I mean, we all have different elements. So there's not, or we might have something that we might not do ourselves, but we want to, you know, just escape into it, you know, and enjoy it, you know,
and
out, in the safety of our own home. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, it may be something that you're curious about. And I know I've kind of sometimes I'll put a little carrot in there to something that they can actually try to do. I've had a lady say, you know what? I read that, and she said, and my husband and I tried it. I said, okay.
Oh, did she?
Yes. She said, oh, my goodness. She said, thank you so much for sticking that in. I was like, you're welcome.
I always think that men should read romance novels. They really should.
They do. I'm surprised. I do have a lot of male readers. And most of them tell me it's because I have action as well as, you know, sex scenes. And they're like, I said, really? And they're like, yes. He said, oh, yeah. And they'll listen to audiobooks like this one he's driving. And he said he listened to it on the way to work. And I said, wow. And he said, oh, yes. He said, because it's, you know, you have a lot. I said, well, I'm actually not a romance movie fan, which is funny because I write romance. But I love action pictures. So I put a little bit of that into my books because, you know, you've got to have that. I have to have that rush, at least for me. That's why I write paranormal. So I found that a lot of men actually can identify with that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Nice.
Most of my readers are women. Mm-hmm. But I do have one man that wrote me. I can think of two men, but I had one man actually write me a really nice thing. Message telling me that, you know, being a man, he, you know, never really read romance, but whatever, he was intrigued by mine and how much he enjoyed it. And I was like, so flattered because, you know, there's a stigma to that too. So it's good that these things are loosening up, you know, it's really good.
Yes, because you really definitely are seeing it. Yeah, definitely. And I could actually see that, you know, a guy reading your books because you have a lot in them. And, it, you know, to me, it's always, if you have a strong plot, that's how I look at it. And you well-developed characters. So those are the two big things for me. So, yeah, I would definitely. Well, definitely. So.
Yeah.
I know we're running out of time here, but I'd like you to tell our listeners where they can find your books, if you have a website or your social media so they can follow you. Because I'm pretty sure they're going to watch this after listening to this.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Well, I am pretty much all over social media. I have an author page. It's at on Facebook. You can find it either under Author Valerie Lynn or Romance That Sizzles. I have a private readers group also on Facebook called Valerie Lynn's Seaside Sizzlers, so we'd love to have you be a sizzler. I am on Instagram under Author Valerie Lynn. I have a website, www.valerielynn.com. I have recently jumped into TikTok, so that's kind of fun.
Nice.
I do car conversations, which basically is just me because I'm a rambler, as you can already know by this interview. I ramble about nothing, but I do that about once a week, you know. I'm a little behind right now on YouTube, but I do have this YouTube channel that you can look me up under Valerie Lim, Romance at Sizzles, and you can get the latest that's going on in my world because I get excited about pretty much everything. And I'm on very rarely, but sometimes Twitter. So I'm out there. And my books, they're wide, so they're available in ebook everywhere. Kobo, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you name it. I have my signed paperbacks. If you're looking for one of those, you can get those from Literary Dreams Publishing's online bookstore.
Nice.
Or you can just, you know, write to me and I'll work something out.
Well, there you go. Okay, we'll see. There we go. That is awesome.
There we go.
Yeah, and that's why I was telling everyone we met on Instagram. So it's like, you know, because we all kind of support each other. Yeah. And, you know.
And we
just,
do, yes.
Yeah. Because sometimes, you know, we do that.
I had a friend ask if I wanted to be introduced to a few people on Instagram, and you were one of them. And that's just what you were saying, you know, everybody is so welcoming. I've had some really, I'm amazed, and I said it before, but blessed and feel very thankful to be in the romance community because I've made some wonderful, wonderful friends, and including you. And it's so nice, and there's a place for everybody.
Yes, you know? There definitely is. A place for everyone, and I think that's a part we have a community of not just but authors. And we read each other's stuff, we support each other, and I think that's really important because, you know, we're all doing the same thing. You know, we might have 1,000 different books, but, you know, there's a book for everyone. And it doesn't matter.
There is a book for everyone. And everybody's story is important. Every story should be told because there's somebody who's going to want it.
Exactly. You know? Or someone who's going to say, hey, your book really spoke to me. And that's the thing. That blessed them more. It really helps them to understand something, even about themselves. And you know what? This is not for me. Difference. Who cares? I don't care if it's a romance, but it's what you have to say. And if somebody needs that story, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Because you just might have the one thing that gives somebody hope, too. And you think, oh, maybe you're being dramatic saying that. But no, not at all. Because a character might, you know, you might read about a character that just happens to have the same anxiety disorder you have, or, you know, has lost 50 pounds and you've struggled and they're just giving you that inspiration to go forward. You just don't know. Or they might have had a terrible traumatic, you know, situation place, and they have, you know, PTSD, you know, so there's something for everybody out there. So you just never know who's going to need what you have.
Exactly. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. And again, one more time quickly for
my website. You broke up a little on me on that hand. Did you ask me for the website?
Yes. One more time so that listeners can find you.
www.valerielin.com, and I'm always on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Well, thank you very much, Valerie. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. As always,
thank you so much. It was great.
Been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverine at mahoganysilverine.net. Thank you and good night.